Our guest today says, throughout my life, I have noticed a pattern that when I experience environments that are both safe and brave, I find the most meaning and make the greatest impact. Greg Smith is our guest. He is a leadership coach and the author of In Search of Safe, Brave Spaces. And he allowed me to tap into his top five talents today. And we went through and discovered how he is totally using all five of his talents to really get in the flow of his work today. And it was a longer journey, which you'll hear about in the podcast. But let me tell you just a little bit more about Greg Smith. Besides being the author, he is also fortunate to have the opportunity to lead a leadership development and coaching practice at Lighthouse 9 Group. He says, with my partners, I support the journey to safe, brave spaces as an executive coach and through the areas of culture and engagement, change management, strategy alignment and cascade, organizational design, and high-performing teams. His experience from Porter Airlines, Campbell Soup, Marriott, and Walsley have brought him to where he is today. And I'm excited to have this conversation. We both truly enjoyed creating this episode for you, and I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as we did creating it. So let's jump into this week's Navigating Your Leadership podcast with our guest, Greg Smith. Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast, where we are changing the wave of the future. Like it or not, the world has changed, and as an exceptional leader, you have to change with it or risk being left behind. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you navigate this new leadership style. Inside the podcast, you'll discover what your team really wants and needs from you, how to tap into your God-given talents, how to increase your productivity with a strengths-based team, and how to realign with your North Star to truly enjoy your work and your life. This podcast will inspire and empower you today so you can elevate your influence into the future. If you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, then untie those dock lines and jump on board as we begin navigating your leadership. Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast, Greg. I'm so excited to have this conversation. I know we've been having some really fun conversations over the last couple of months, really. And I think this is going to be another extension of the good, juicy conversation we've been having.
I agree. I always say that there's certain people that I've shared head and hearts with. And I think you and I are one of those examples.
Totally. I would totally agree on that. But what's fun is when we get into your top five in a few minutes, our top five, besides strategic, are totally different, which I love that because we are in alignment with what we're trying to bring to the world and what we believe in people. But it's great to see that people are different. And even though you may want to get to the same place, you may want to bring the same thing to the world, we don't all have to be the same. And I think this is going to be a great example of that.
I love that. You know, I never really reflected on that, but having you shared yours and mine, that is so true. So our directional purpose is the same, but how we bring it forward are truly aligned to who we are. And, you know, the world is made up of complex and different people. So they need both of us and all of us.
Exactly. So our new format that we've been doing so far, it's been really fun. I think as I was just sharing with you before we hit record, like, I think I finally got this figured out. So we'll see. You're the second one to try the newest format. So we'll see if it really flows that well again. But what we'll do is I'm going to give you a chance to, you know, share a little bit about who you are before we jump into the strengths piece. But what we've been doing with our guests is I had you take your top five or your Clifton Strengths Assessment. We're going to look at your top five and we'll break it down one by one and then see how those talents have shown up in your life. And you may even have a memory of from childhood of it, or, you know, a success story, or how it's led you to what you're doing today and where it just kind of flows in there. Because, you know, bottom line is our talents have really been with us forever. It's just when they're nurtured and when we use them is how we become successful. So it's going to be super, you know, fun just to see how things just kind of weave together and what it brings out of the conversation. So I'm excited to see where this conversation goes with your top five.
Me too.
So, and of course, here comes a helicopter.
That always happens, right? You know, snowblower in my case, helicopter, whatever it is.
That always occurs.
But I also think that sometimes we don't actually hear it, but we certainly hear it when we're doing the recording.
Right, right. So the editor, you can just edit out that little piece of conversation about the helicopter for us. So Greg, tell everybody a little bit about who you are, what you do today, and how you got here.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I'll give you the fast pace up to my background and where I am today. So currently, I'm an author, a podcast host, a coach, consultant, who focuses most on leadership and culture. But how I got here is a bit of an interesting journey. I started in operations, and then I was one of those folks that did all the things that great HR people do. And I had a leader that said, you should be over here. You hire great people, you retain great people, you train great people. So I kind of found my way early in my career over going over into HR. And I love that because I have a business head. And then I went into HR, which allowed me, but I had a heart for people and a way of connecting them. We'll get connected to my top five for sure there. But then I had the great opportunity of working for some of the best organizations, Marriott, Campbell Soup, an airline in Canada, a very cool little regional airline that flies into the States called Porter Airlines, and then a major distribution of plumbing parts, which is called Wolseley Ferguson in the States. So lots of varied experiences, but always focusing on how do we release potential in organizations. And so I love that. I kind of floated. I'm not a person that has a real plan. I kind of move towards what I see and where I want to grow and learn. And I was doing that and loving being a corporate head of HR on the C-suite. And then my life fell apart in 2016. I was in an environment that was just opposite my values. My best friend since the age of 13 passed away with brain cancer. My uncle died in my arms. My wife got really sick, an undiagnosed condition. We didn't know what it was, but she's healthy now, thank goodness. And everything was falling apart. And then they came to me and said, Greg, you don't fit anymore. And, you know, honestly, I was ready because I realized that I had lost so much of who I was in amongst all of these churns. And I'm a very positive, we're gonna talk about that guy. So this was a real crash. And in that crash, I learned some great things to let go, to allow others to come around me. And I began a rediscovering journey of myself. From there, I went out on my own, started coaching, got certified in coaching, started consulting. Then I wrote the book, Safe Brave, In Search of Safe Brave Spaces, which is really my journey and some of the tools that I've discovered, and since have been using that to integrate into my coaching and helping others find their journey back to who they are and where they can contribute. So that's kind of been where I'm at and how I got here.
I love that. I love everything you shared there. And I think there's probably a lot of listeners who can resonate with that whole discovery piece of realizing, I don't know if I fit in here anymore. And, you know, with the past 2 years we've had, 2020 with COVID and then 2021, as I say, with more COVID, I think a lot of people are sensing that and they're reevaluating their priorities and all those things that you did in, was it 2016 that you said?
And well, actually, it's interesting because lots of folks have said, Greg, this book and your ideas, and they're not all my ideas. Sometimes they're just things that I've tried and learned and used, but you're so right. I mean, you know, they're calling it the Great Resignation, but now it's changing. It's to the Great Reflection. And the reflection is leading to resignations because, to your point, people are saying, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. When I hit bottom, I was physically exhausted, mentally exhausted, emotionally, spiritually, everything was, I was on the last little thing in my tank to really hang in there. But, you know, then we learned to let go and surround ourselves. And man, oh man, that was such a hard and now beautiful experience that I know others are feeling right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think 2022 is going to be that true letting go year of people. I think they're at that point that you were, where you felt like you hit rock bottom, and you had nothing left. And I think that's what so many people, I know that's what so many people are feeling today based on conversations. And I really feel like 2022, we're going to move in a direction. And maybe this is my futuristic talking, but I just really have this sense that we are going to move into this, like, okay, I just need to let go. Let God, if you know, that's what I would be saying. And taking some of these tools and tools like your book and possibly strengths or whatever you need to really then move into where your destiny is. What are you supposed to learn through this whole experience?
I agree 100%. You know, there's lots of theories and I think patterns of how over every 500 years is a significant renewal. And usually this is from a spiritual perspective where everything kind of burns down and then growth comes back up. And I actually am like you. I actually think 2022 is, I'm very hopeful. And I think people are going to go down those pathways. And I think that's going to lead to a lot of excitement and a lot of regrowth. And I'm actually more positive. It's hard to see that maybe right now. But again, my themes would tell me that I'm positive. However, I sense more of that as well.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of themes, let's jump into there because I think, Greg, you and I could spend hours talking about different subjects. So bring it back to the subject at hand. And let's start with strategic. And then we are going to get to that positivity, which I think is really going to be the one that really, really, because I'm hearing you say that. And I always find that fascinating when you hear people's talents and strengths. You can hear them in their language. They actually use the words positivity, strategic, like they're there. And to me, that's just, and maybe it's just because I pick up on that because I'm aware of it, but it's so, I don't know. I just think that's one of the really neat mm-hmm. things too, is you people say what they are.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So Greg's top five for our listeners. And like I said, we're going to go through these one by one, but your top five are strategic, positivity, woo, which is winning others over, connectedness, and communication. And I'm excited to see how these really show up in like what you've been working on the last couple of years, and especially with your book. So anyway, let's jump in. So strategic, the shared theme description, meaning this is the generic description from Gallup, is people who are especially talented in the strategic theme create alternative ways to proceed. Faced with any given scenario, they can quickly spot the relevant patterns and issues. Now, your personalized, and again, this is the part I love about this assessment. This is personalized for you, Greg. Nobody else has this because they take, and to me, it's, again, this just is like a head, you know, just amazing to me how they do this, but they take all of your themes and look at them and how they play out. And what does this mean for your strategic? Your strategic looks different than my strategic based on our other themes. So a couple of things that I just kind of highlighted about your personalized strategic is you draw clever linkages between facts, events, people, problems, or solutions. You present others with numerous options at a pace some find dizzying. Your innovative thinking tends to foster ongoing dialogue between and among the group's participants. Instinctively, you generate innovative ideas. You probably inspire others to start projects and launch initiatives as a result of your perspective. You tend to identify a goal, devise numerous ways of reaching it, and choose the best alternative. This explains why you see opportunities, trends, and solutions before your teammates, classmates, or peers do. Driven by your talents, you select the right combination of words to convey your ideas or feelings. In the middle of discussions, your vocabulary provides you with precise phrases and terminology. You probably express yourself with ease and grace. By nature, you characteristically find the right words to express whatever you are thinking. You offer explanations, discuss ideas, give examples, and share stories. You effectively use the spoken word. And I will definitely attest to all of that last few sentences because every time we've had a conversation, I definitely see all of that. in you. But when you hear all of that, Greg, about yourself, like what really jumps out and resonates with you, or what are your thoughts about that?
So there are three things that really, I mean, first of all, I will tell you that mine is highlighted all over the place. This one in particular was highlighted all over the place. But the things that jumped out for me, I can connect the dots really quickly. And part of what I do for my culture work and coaching and that type of thing is being able to see the pathways quite quickly and to be able to articulate and create the space for folks to see that and come along with me and find their place in it. That's really a thing that's really important to me. The dizziness, though, is something that I had to learn. Because I'm very enthusiastic, I connect the dots quickly. Sometimes I can leave people behind. I tell a story when I was a head of HR for Campbell's Soup, where I remember leaving a meeting and thinking, wow, people are all fired up. And they were. And a really junior person came and said, Greg, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And she said, you know, Greg, I love your energy. I see where we're going. I'm really excited. But do you know you leave half the people behind? And that was the big aha for me, because my intention was all to engage, to pull people in. But I recognize that the speed of which I do things and the ease of which I flow through and move can leave others behind. So that dizziness, I thought, oh boy, yeah, that was a good learning earlier on. I still work at that. And I do create space for people to believe. I think the strategy to see and believe, and this is why I do a lot of strategy work in organizations, tying their vision to where they're going. And I think this is a gift that I recognize and just following my heart with, while still holding space for people to own it. Because I think that's the biggest thing for someone like myself, is that I can get there, but it's so much better to provide space and the environment for people to get there themselves.
I love all that. I love all that. It's interesting, your story with this strategic, because I know we were talking about my strategic and I pretty much had the same story. I think those of us with high strategic, we do tend to leave people behind, leave them wondering what are we talking about? Because our mind works so quick at coming up with these solutions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely something to be aware of. Yes. Oh. Great. Okay. The next one is your positivity. And we've already started talking about this. So the shared theme description of positivity is people who are especially talented in the positivity theme have an enthusiasm that is contagious. They are upbeat and can get others excited about what they are going to do. So some things I highlighted on here for your personalized positivity. Instinctively, you feel enthusiastic about life when you contemplate everything you can accomplish in the coming months, years, or decades. You probably need to know what the future holds before you can concentrate on today's activities. Chances are good that you choose to be fully engaged with people and activities. Meaningful relationships and purposeful work probably fill you with happiness. You are wide awake to the wonders of your life. And by nature, you automatically acknowledge newcomers or welcome outsiders to your work group, team, or class. You probably invite them to join discussions or engage in friendly chit chat. You are very comfortable starting conversations with total strangers. So talk to us a little more about your positivity.
Yeah, so totally. Although this one also had lots of highlights on it. And part of me, you mentioned, I have a strong faith. In my faith, it's I believe that I'm here for a purpose. And as a result of that, and my faith really at the core is love. So the combination of purpose and love kind of drives a lot of who I am and where I'm going. And so I do tend to be enthusiastic. I do tend to be a half cup full person. You mentioned newcomers. I'm on the board of directors of a refugee settlement organization in Toronto and have been attached to that for a while. And just because I'm open at it, I do some work and I have been on boards of poverty organization, food banks. So part of that is I'm driven to make a difference and to bring my skills into that. So definitely this one rings a bell. I'm often the person my family laughs that I'm going up to strangers and connecting with them and talking to them. They'll laugh. Oh, there goes dad again to do that. The one thing that I have learned from this one is equally, as we talked about the strategy, is to become more present and also to be okay with the not so great stuff. Because I've learned in my life that positivity is a beautiful thing and a gift that I bring. And similar to the strategy discussion that we had, sometimes I need to sit in the crunchiness. Sometimes I need to allow space for others to be less positive. And in that descriptor, I remember it said something about, I might not be that thrilled with people who are kind of downers or more of a see the problem. Well, my wife, we haven't done this with her, but I'll definitely want to do it with her. She is someone who sees all of the problems. She's a wonderful person, a loving person, but she actually sees the things that can go wrong. And sometimes that can get crunchy in our household. But I balance off with the optimism and the positivity. She balances off with the reality of life. And that makes us really good if we're open to listening.
I love that. I love that. She probably is high restorative. Restorative people see all the problems and they create the problems if there are no problems. So they're very interested, but we need those people because a lot of times we need to see the problems.
Exactly.
And they'll save you a lot of money along the way, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes, she has. And saved my life. I always say that I'm alive today because I probably have a restorative wife that looks after me and says, wait a second, I don't think you should do that. So,
Yeah, the line, I think there's characteristically upbeat, you are likely to avoid pessimists and cynics who refuse to see the goodness in human beings and the world around them.
That is the line. And so for me, what I do now is I'm much more aware of my energy when those folks show up. And my first response is, tell me more. How did you reach that place? You know, and it's helped me because it helps me balance out because I historically would have avoided them. And I still probably do, but I try to kind of understand them a little bit more.
So I'm curious, how does that play into with your, like with your book, and you talk about those safe, brave spaces?
I love that. So for me, the optimism and positivity is in both places. First of all, the idea of the book is safe spaces are those, if you could just imagine someone putting your arm around you to kind of really feel confident and comfortable in a place of which I can discover myself, feel good about myself, gain my confidence. That's safe. Brave is the nudge out the door and standing beside you as you're moving on to something a little bit more scary. So positivity can really apply in both of those areas. Safe is really just helping them remember who they are, helping organizations see what they do and where they're bringing. And then positivity is helps create momentum and helps create enthusiasm to actually step out into something scary. So I think that's where I mostly have found success in leveraging that positivity, both in individuals and creating the safe, as well as the brave space stepping out.
That totally makes sense. Totally. I can see that. So the woo, this goes back to what you were saying that your kids always say you're always talking to strangers. So woo combined with positivity, there's no hope. You're going to talk to every stranger in your way, you know, that comes your way. And they're going to love you for that. So woo, and again, it stands for winning others over. Today, a lot of people think it's like the woohoo, you know, like the you know, angels and all of those kind of things, which it can be, but it's normally just winning others over. So the shared theme description is people who are especially talented in the woo theme love the challenge of meeting new people and winning them over. They derive satisfaction from breaking the ice and making a connection with another person. So what makes you stand out, Greg? Again, some things I highlighted was, it's very likely that you probably tell jokes and act out funny stories to involve newcomers as well as outsiders in discussions. One of your joys is making strangers feel welcome and part of the group. Because of your strengths, you have an aptitude for communicating and making conversation. Being able to put friends or strangers at ease quickly is one of your gifts. Instinctively, you exude an exuberant outlook toward life. You embrace its many possibilities. You can see your possibility or your other themes coming through in there. By nature, you're guileless, and I probably butchered that word, I don't know, that is candid and frank about what you think and feel. With ease, you reveal many details regarding your past, your present circumstances, and your future prospects. Many individuals appreciate your plain-spoken and open style. You spend little, if any, time pretending you can do or be something you know you cannot. You often win lots of new friends by being completely open about yourself. So speak to us about your woo theme and what kind of resonates with what I read or what stands out to you when it comes to the way you live and the way you work.
And I would say my woo has grown over my life. Although I would also say that I've always been someone who is welcoming, someone who is more vulnerable than others and willing to share kind of where I'm at, more aware of those around me who are outsiders and bring them in, provide voice. And but sometimes, you know, when you're younger and you're kind of going up your career, you hesitate about those things because you start to think about, well, how does this impact me and all those kinds of things. And I always say that when I turned 50, I recognize what I care deeply and don't care at all. And so I think that's the woo shift stage, because I care deeply about certain stuff, but I really don't care if you don't agree with me or don't like me, that's fine. I'm not going to get mad at you and that type of thing, but I'm going to be open about what I believe. And I also think the other thing that resonated to me is the simplicity. I like simple. So I try to simplify things and also in my explanations and connectivity. And I think that bridges things. So this one really resonated. And, you know, my work with the refugee centers in Toronto and some other things that I've done really kind of resonate of where this kind of evolved even further.
Yeah. I like that when you, the one line, you spend little, if any time, pretending you can do or be something you know you cannot. And I think that's that over 50 mentality right there, right?
I think it is. And you and I talked about this like about 20 years ago when I think the book came first out. I bought it for all of my senior leadership team. And it was a big release for me to say, wait a second, this is what my strengths are. And I've been focusing on trying to be good at this, which I'll never be good. I'll get it up to a place that doesn't hinder me. But besides that, I can go. And so really Strengths Finders was a big part of that really first evolution, you know, way before 50, that made me realize that, you know, this is what I'm good at. And this one, and I, from there, have tried to lead that way.
I like that a lot. Yeah. It's the, you know, sometimes, especially when we are newer leaders, we're trying to be, you know, be all end all leader, and we can't, And you may be okay at it for a short while, but you'll end up exhausted. You'll end up burning out. You'll end up, you know, just not showing up as your best self and probably leave a couple of dead bodies along the way as you do that.
I agree. And, you know, it's such an early lesson that I learned was knowing myself and then surrounding myself with folks that had different gifts, different strengths that were complementary to me. All of my throughout my career, my success in both helping organizations move forward and cultures grow were based upon surrounding myself with complementary strengths and allowing the freedom for us to be. That's a big early aha that I was grateful to discover, and it's helped me through my career.
I like that. You're lucky that you found that early on. It took me a while in my career before I figured that all out. The other thing that really stood out for me on this one was and I know you mentioned this as well, where it just said about that your plain spoken, open style. And I took that as what you said. It's just that you keep things simple. And that definitely is seen in your book. Like you have, I love all the acronyms you have, a lot of your plans. You really have simplified what some people could take and turn into this, you know, big psychological idea, and you brought it back down to make it really easy for everybody to implement and walk away with a chunk of how to be better at what they do, how to create that safe, brief space. So are there any of your, because I know you do have a lot of them in there, what's one or two that you feel like is really vital to somebody to walk away with?
Well, there's a couple of great tools that I think of today. I actually had a Safe Brave Circle where we're learning some, and these aren't mine that I've just found, A couple of, we were talking about critics today. How do we get critics out of our heads, which is pretty interesting. And one that's really simple is thanks, not now. So when the critics show up, simply saying thanks, not now, because they're us, right? So if I have, mine is doubting Dougie, you know, that when I'm doing something, then he goes, oh, you don't know what you're doing, Greg. So I say, thanks, not now. There's a power in owning that with regards to it. The other one is something I call sale, which I think I created, but you never know. You're right. So it's probably someone else's. But sale is stop and breathe, acknowledge and allow what you're experiencing, feeling. I is investigate. So what is it? What's behind that? How do I feel? Is it helpful? Is it hindering? And then L is learn and let go. So pick what you need to take from that and then let go of everything else. And I always think of the visual of sailing. You know, sailing, it's a beautiful out in the water, but you have a control over the sails to move where you're going to move. You can't control the wind, but you can control what you do with it. So I often say that if you are up against a barrier, learn to sail. And that's been helpful. So those are just a couple that bubble up, but the book is full of them. And what I have said, someone said, well, Greg, I can't believe you do all these things. And I said, oh no, I don't do all these things. I've done them all and they've helped me at a time, but just pick the ones that work for you and then use the other ones when you can, or if you need to, but this is what I love. And hopefully it was simple. I'm glad to hear that, because that was one of my intentions.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I'm glad you just said that about your book, because looking, you know, reading it and looking through it, I'm kind of going to file that away as a toolbox book. You know, there are some books that we read cover to cover and we glean a couple of ideas from them and we never really look at them again. And then there's other books that we put on, at least I do, I put on a, you know, that these are tools and I may need to grab something from it someday, another piece of it.
Yeah, that's exactly. I've had a couple of people say that. And, you know, in my book, the journey I say is that safer spaces starts within me. So how do I focus on myself? It accelerates between you and me and my relationships. And then it flourishes amongst we. So there's also tools in it. How do I help myself? How do I help in my relationships? And then how do I help in this organization I'm trying to create? And so you're right. People have said, oh, yeah, well, now I'm going to grab this or I'm going to go back to this. So I thank you so much. That's really gratifying, because that was, again, one of the intentions, is that this is a practical reference book, as well as some good stories, I hope, that will help inspire people to begin their journey.
Yeah. And I'll probably be borrowing your sail analogy a lot, because, of course, I love to throw in, you know, our sailing, a lot of sailing analogies in what I do, because we love to sail.
So. I love that. And I've borrowed lots from others, so that's the way to do it. It's an abundance mindset, is to be able to share to help others. So that's great.
Great. All right. Which actually ties well into, that was a great lead into the next theme, which is connectedness. And the overall description is, people who are especially talented in the connectedness theme have faith in the links between all things. They believe there are few coincidences and that almost every event has a reason. And then your personalized strengths, insight, some things. And I highlighted almost all of this one. So we'll break it up. Feel free to interrupt me if we, actually, I'll try to break it up a little bit. So by nature, you sense you are linked to all humanity. You contend that harming another human being eventually harms you. Misusing the environment has personal consequences, you argue. This perspective on life influences your thoughts, actions, decisions, or choices. Chances are good that you might argue that hard work influences the course of your life more than anything else. Perhaps you make your own good fortune by preparing yourself to take advantage of opportunities as they arise. When you are successful, you may be able to outline what you did to reach a particular goal. Maybe you link together facts, incidents, conversations, or available resources to understand your accomplishments. So we'll pause there with connectedness, because I think it's exactly what we were just talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And I believe this so strongly that we're connected, you know, that we all play a part in this. And, you know, that whether you call it the butterfly effect, the wings going forward, one of my, I did spiritual direction a while back. And I don't know if you've ever done that, but this is an Ignatius thing. I'm not raised Catholic, but it's a 40 day thing where you just really settle and get focused. Part of me slowing down, but that spiritual director, which I thought was amazing. You want to try it. It's fantastic. But she had a beautiful description. She said, our world is like the very best television. You know, those televisions, the best televisions are made up of millions of different pixels. And we're like that. But if one of those pixels isn't working, the picture isn't as good, isn't as beautiful. And so she says, you know, kind of our world is, how do we work on making our pixels shine bright to make that full picture be as beautiful as it could be? And that really resonated with me. So part of me is that connectedness. And then how do I shine my pixel to make that that picture look beautiful?
Oh, I love that image. And I have not heard of the spiritual director, so I'll have to do a little more investigating on that. Continuing on with your connectedness. So instinctively, you may seek wisdom from specific people with whom you have intelligent conversations. You might listen as well as share your thoughts. In the process, you occasionally move beyond reality and objective facts. Maybe your curiosity draws you to speculate, that is, reflect or wonder about particular theories, ideas, or concepts. And then driven by your talents, you may be insurmountable in helping your teammates discover how they are linked to one another. Once in a while, you remind them that their success or failure is a direct result of their ability to work together, like the TV pixels. It's very likely that you may enjoy the company of people who have faced and conquered some of life's difficulties. Perhaps they have gained wisdom you lack. Occasionally, you benefit from their philosophical insights.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I've always said the two most important strengths of any leader are courage and curiosity. And really, this is kind of at the core of connectivity and going forward. Courage is really being open to others' ideas and stepping into that. And so it comes back to that safe, brave. Courage and curiosity was I had for all the time. And safe, brave is kind of an evolved part. But really, that is where those spaces that I like to create and the connectivity, there's so much more we can do together. And if we make that commitment to each other, and I do love to learn from others, those wise counselors that just shake my box a little bit so that I need to think differently and continue to grow.
I love that. And I can really see just in the whole discussion how, again, all of these themes have played out in your life back from, you know, with your volunteering and your services and the way you've learned and then what you put out there for others, it really are all connected.
Well, and it's interesting. I've never been someone who likes, quote, networking. And yet I'm like a natural networker. When I first went through the challenges, so many people reached out because I had helped people throughout my career. And I didn't even remember helping out people in a career. But that natural connectiveness, that connectedness of wanting to support and help people see. So it wasn't officially like the networking, learn to network, but I was networking at the same point. So it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself connecting people like, oh, you've got to meet this person?
All the time, because I think, oh, you could really learn and you could really learn. So that's so true. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Because that would be you have your woo and then your connectedness in there, the two together.
Yeah. And towards strategic things moving forward, which is that like they're all blend so beautifully together for me.
Right. Absolutely. And that is really what we want. We want everything. And, you know, I've shared this before on other podcasts. Talking about strengths is a lot of times people get hung up on like, oh, strategic's my number one, but they all blend together. And then there's situations that you're going to pull connectedness up a little more and really lean into that. And at other times you may, you know, use your woo. So it's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 necessarily. It's really linear of how they all work together. And sometimes it's a full circle. Then they just keep almost like, I guess, the infinity sign, really. It's like, ooh, they all kind of just keep going around and around and together and pair off in different ways.
I agree 100%. It's funny you use the infinity because that's part of Safe Brave Spaces. Safe and brave is together. It's in flow. And it's the same thing, I think. You're right. I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the last one is communication. And people who are especially talented in the communication theme generally find it easy to put their thoughts into words. They are good conversationalists and presenters. And the things I highlighted for yours, Greg, is it's very likely that you may realize you have a gift for talking about certain ideas or feelings. Perhaps you speak more freely with individuals who openly share with you whatever is on their mind. Driven by your talents, you naturally gravitate to situations where you can be your true self. You feel life is wonderful when people listen as you share stories about your successes, failures, talents, limitations, hopes, or fears. Because of your strengths, you occasionally welcome opportunities to regale people with your stories. Witty and engaging, your verbal exchanges might generate excitement. Sometimes you manage to capture and keep your audience's attention. By nature, you may value the discussions you have with future-oriented thinkers. Maybe you are attracted to those who enjoy your company and listen to your ideas. Who's not attracted to that, right?
Yeah.
And then the last thing I highlighted here is you are forthright and plain spoken. People generally seek your company and want to work with you. Many are impelled to move into action by your words and examples. Tell us what all of that says for you, Greg.
I've always had the gift of being able to be a storyteller. And I think that's how I learn. I'm more connected when someone connects it to something personal. I've always felt that the power in culture and engagement is when you help people personalize it. And you help people personalize any idea or thought by first doing that yourself and seeing how that's connected inward. So I think I've always done that with regards to it. I think over time, I've learned to be crisper in my storytelling and to be kind of focused. The other thing I think I've learned through my storytelling is when I let go, and there's a line in there that says, when I'm aligned to something, when I'm focused, when I'm really passionate about it, when you actually let go, you don't overplan. When I just show up and tell my story or connect with someone, that's when I get most joy. And so I've done that. So I've done a number of speeches. I'm often the master of ceremonies in organizations that I've been at because I love to create those. It's again, the connection that you said, the woo, the connectiveness, the positivity, and the strategic, that's woven together through that communication piece. And I think just recognizing it and owning it has been so helpful for me in my career.
I was going to ask if you do a lot of keynote speaking. Yeah.
So I used
totally
to do
makes sense.
Yeah, I used to do a lot more. And actually, it's one of my goals for this year is to, as part of sharing a little bit more about Safe Brave Spaces and is getting out and doing more keynote as that. So definitely want to continue that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious on a like the personal level, how does your family feel about your stories and entertaining?
Well, they love it. However, I will tell you a very quick story is I had this session where I was using one of my stories to help people connect to their energy. And my daughter was doing this with me. It was a Safe Brave Circle, and it was about really recognizing your energy. I told the story about this thing that happened to our house, our break-in, and how I went into the house and did all that type of thing. And afterwards, my daughter, we finished, and people were moved by it and connected by it. And my daughter came afterwards and says, I'm not sure that's how I remember the story. And I said, oh, really? That's how I remember the story. And I went home and my wife said, Greg, you weren't even home for that story. You were at a business meeting. You came home later. But it's funny how the story was really impactful for me and the situation, but I transformed it in my mind. And so fortunately I have family members and friends that say, wait a second, Greg, is that your story?
But it was a good story. So.
It was a good story. And I did go back to that group and say a funny thing. You know, when I said I went in the house and that everything, that was actually my wife, Josette, that went in the house. I was having dinner with friends.
That's hilarious. So you've mentioned a couple of times, Greg, your circle, your Safe Brave Circle. I think, is that the name of it?
Yes.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about what that is.
Yeah, so I've done a couple of them so far. This is really a not-for-profit kind of thing. So just I just pay the cost of it type of thing. And there's small groups where over a period of 8 sessions, folks work through my book and they learn the tools and they create what I call as a Being Me profile, which is basically a one pager that says, what are my strengths? What do I bring? What do I value? How do I work best? What gets in my way and where and how do I want to contribute? Simple tools that they put together out of my book. And then on the back of the page, it's about your safe, brave plan. So what are the things I want to do to move my purpose forward, my commitment forward? And then what are the things I want to do personally to help me become more safe and brave in myself? So this is just a process. I've done it a few times now. I'm going to continue to do it. It's a way of giving back. You know, I do my consulting, I do my coaching, I do that where I integrate safe, brave spaces into everything. But this is like for folks on the journey. So this last one, I had a woman in South Africa. I had a young woman in the East Coast who's kind of in transition. I've had so many different folks that have just are looking to your point, to kind of rediscover and where they are. So probably launch another one in the springtime as well.
That's really neat. And you're connecting people globally. I love that.
Yeah, and what I love is that, yes, the tools are great. The dialogue is really great. But what I find people are as encouraged by is building safe community where they can share their journey together and support each other. Most of these circles, they're still connected afterwards. And so it builds out communities, which I think is so key and probably it works really closely with my connectness.
Mm, very good. I know there is definitely value in group sessions like that. And, you know, that it's not just a one and done, but a continuation of the same group where they do get to know each other and they feel safe amongst each other.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to share with our leaders, our listeners today?
I would just, you know, as I said, and I know you do this too, and I think really the Strength Finders is such a core of this. In my book, I say safe, brave spaces starts within me because it doesn't mean you have to be finished because we're never finished. I think Safe Brave Spaces is really not a destination. It's a journey that you're continually on, but really starting with understanding yourself and who I am and who I'm not is such an important aspect. So I'd so encourage any leader to begin with that. But then even as you start to discover it, then it accelerates between you and me, whether that's your team or in your relationships, share what you're learning. Inquire who other people are. There's so much power in that because collectively we're going to be able to do great things. So that's really just what I would say. You know, I have a separate podcast that also are great might want to listen to. One is called Safe Brave Stories, which are just stories of great leaders that are creating communities, organizations that are safe and brave and are doing amazing things. I've got there's the head of Twitter Canada. There's a couple of just really amazing leaders that are doing some good things. And then Talking Not Ranting, where Sherry was a guest, which is just, hey, what are the things we do well and don't do well as leaders? And both of those are on the different platforms, and check out Sherry on the most recent one that's going to be launched soon. So those are just some of the things and it's about sharing ideas like you're doing with this podcast. I love this and learning to help people grow and learn and reflect and especially begin that journey within themselves.
Well, thank you. And yeah, it was a fun conversation we had on the Talking Not Ranting too. So that'll be fun. And if somebody wants to follow you or learn more about what you offer, learn more about your book, your circle, where do they find you, Greg?
Well, I have a website, www.safebravespaces.com. You can just check me out on Greg Smith at LinkedIn, on my LinkedIn profile, which I could send you the post, but I'm on LinkedIn. Also, Safe Brave Spaces is on Instagram and a little bit on Twitter, but those are probably the places. But if you go to my website, all my links are in there too. And LinkedIn, I post a fair amount of my thoughts and ideas and the things that I'm discovering on there.
Great. And I know you have some great resources out there on your website as well.
Yeah, a lot of free stuff. People can just grab it. And some of those tools that you talked about, you know, it's that they can pull down and learn.
Okay. And I will have all those in the show notes, all the links, because my guess is finding Greg Smith on LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yes, definitely. You'll have to check that out. That's yeah. Right.
So I'll make sure you have the right Greg Smith to follow on there. And, you know, we like to finish up with any recommendations for a book. And this is your chance. Put your shameless plug out there one more time for your book and any quotes that you want to leave the listeners with.
Oh, yeah. So my book for sure. In Search of Safe, Brave Spaces. You can get it on Amazon. And I would encourage you to do that. That's for your shamelessly plugging. The two quotes, I'm trying to remember the ones that I, the first one is through Viktor Frankl. And I'm going to get this right. And I think I sent it to you to go around, but it's one of my favorite, basically Viktor Frankl, if you haven't read Man's Search for Meaning, powerful book. Viktor Frankl was in the concentration camps in Europe. And he had this quote. He said, you know, between stimulus and response, there is a space. And within that space, we have the opportunity to choose. And in that space is where we have freedom and joy. I'm sure I'm butchering the actual quote, but the power of choice that he describes, and he's in the middle of a concentration camp when he thought of this, and it helped him bring forward, is so powerful for me. So that one for me, there's so many great quotes, but that one for me is probably the one that is most powerful.
Yeah, you did pretty good there. I do have it pulled up here now. He said, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom.
And I'm trying. Imagine if we all learn to pause, especially with people who drive us nuts or different perspectives. Just pause and inquire. Choose to inquire and explore how much better we are off. Because we have more in common than we have differences. But that's been so powerful for me. And it still is challenging, you know, but the more I can do that, the more I do have growth and freedom.
And that is a beautiful way to end the Navigating Your Leadership podcast for today. So thank you, Greg, for being on the show, for letting us take this journey with you through your top five strengths and how they show up in your life and how they've got you to where you are today. And I love what you're doing. So keep up the amazing work. And it was a pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you so much. And thank you for reminding me of my top five. It's really reinforced my energy behind what I do and who I am. Thank you so much.
Awesome. My hope and prayer is that today's episode left you feeling inspired and empowered with some tangible steps to implement today. But honestly, the podcast is just the beginning. Through my coaching, my clients learn how to lean into their strengths to create their unique style of leadership, along with gaining strategies to create dynamic and productive teams. Teams with a mutual passion and respect for each other. Whether you just need a few small course corrections or you feel like you need an entirely new ship to lead, I do love a challenge. I'd love to invite you to send me a DM, or better yet, let's hop on a call and see how we can continue this leadership journey together. The link to book a call is in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.